And then you had Christ walking on the sea. And one, this past week, a sentence struck me out of this chapter, verse 17 of the sixth chapter. And it speaks of the disciples, verse 16 speaks of the disciples going down into the ship toward and went over the sea toward Capernaum. But now listen to these words. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not yet come. Mm-hmm. There are places like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
There are places like that in your life and in mine, where it's dark.
That's it.
And we have no sense of Christ,
right,
being present. But be that as it may, he's there.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He's there.
Right.
Well, of course, you know the account of him walking on the sea, and I mustn't get into that. But I want to point out something to you in these people that he fed. I don't know whether it was all of them or not, but I read where there came other boats from Tiberias that were near the place where the 5,000 were fed. And when the people saw that Christ was no longer there, he'd gone into a mountain to pray, if you read Matthew and Mark and Luke. And so when the ship came from Tiberias, they took that ship to go to Capernaum. And if you'll see in verse 25, when they met him, they began to ask questions. The first question was, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you come over here?
Right.
We were over there. Then there's another question in verse 28. What shall we do that we might work the works of God?
Yes, sir.
Then there's a question in verse 30. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What work dost thou do?
Yeah.
Or what dost thou work? Then in verse 42, they said, is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it he saith, I came down from heaven? And then there's another question. This is the fifth one over in verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves and saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then there's question six in verse 60. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?
Amen.
I just thought I'd point that out to you. Watch for questions. And almost always you'll find the answer.
Yes, sir.
They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Amen.
Now, they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. But Christ had already identified their problem. Look at it. Somebody said, well, how can you be so hard on these people? Because Christ did not give them an inch.
No, sir.
Jesus answered them when they asked him the question, when did you come here? He said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles or because of who I am.
Right. Exactly. Right.
But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's why you came. You want the material advantages, which you don't have to work for. You want to be fed by just being fed. Well, people haven't changed that much, have they?
Exactly.
They said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They were saying that they wanted this bread, but on their own terms.
Yeah.
And we'll see that. But God's gift is given on His terms and not ours.
Amen.
To receive the gift of God on His terms is to bow to His sovereignty. I'm reminded of the woman at the well of Sychar. You remember her in the 4th chapter of John? The Samaritan woman. Jesus was wearied, but He had said, I must needs go through Samaria. I have to.
Yes, sir.
Because He saw, before he even went, He saw the woman that was waiting at the well.
That's it.
And it was somewhere around midday, and it was hot, and it was dry. And He stopped by the well of Sychar, and He sat on the well, and this woman came to draw water. And He asked of her a drink, and she said, how dost thou, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, a drink of water?
Yeah, that's it.
Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
That's it.
Well, that was her first question, see? You got to look at the questions. And He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that he mentioned the fact that in verse 13, verse 12, he said, if you would ask of me, I'd give you a drink that would last forever. And she said, are you greater than Jacob? See, another question. But then He said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Emphasis on the word never.
Yes, sir.
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
Go back. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. People haven't changed. And the Lord evermore give us this bread, they missed it. And the woman at the well, at first, not later, at first, she missed it.
Yes, sir.
But later came to grips with it. I thought this, you've got a lot of people around us right here saying, they're saying, Lord, save me.
Yep.
With an attitude that you owe it to me.
Exactly.
Now, God does not redeem the souls of men out of pity.
Right. That's right.
He redeems them by sovereign grace and through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And His cross work. So these two questions, these two requests are similar, yet they differ on the part of the people that asked them. She received, they did not. She heard His words, but in her mind was the physical. I heard a man, I tuned in for Henry this morning on regular television, Channel 8. Get you an antenna, you'll get it. Henry was on Channel 8 this morning at 8:30, and I tuned him in. But I was there a few minutes early, unfortunately. And here's this guy in Huntington. I can't remember the exact words now. But he wants you to send him $20 as seed. You plant the $20 seed, and you send that to me, and then we'll have a great harvest, and you will end poverty in your life. You won't be poor anymore, and God will bless you with an abundance. Let me tell you something, that fellow's a liar.
He's a liar.
Now, I'm not being mean, and I'm not being cruel. I'm just telling the truth. He's a crook. Because there are a lot of poor, needy people that know Christ. Physically, I'm talking about. They need Christ. And knowing Christ is no indication that you're going to be rich. In fact, it's the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that choke out the word. And you're lost. I believe that she there, unlike those that were hearing of the bread, I believe that she came to a knowledge of Christ. Because she went back and told others. At first, she was thinking only of water and of her labor to get that water. So with these who were hearing the very words of Christ, they said, "Lord, evermore give us this bread," but their motive was self.
Exactly.
Now, the scripture deals with spiritual things using natural terms. I'll give you three more words to look at in the New Testament. And I'm not even going to give you the references. Three words to look for and study them through. Bread, water, and meat.
Yes, sir.
Three very normal things, even in our life today. But they have a great spiritual significance when they're dealt with by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just give you another. I mentioned the bread and the water. I'll give you another one. He said to his disciples, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." They'd gone out to buy meat. This is in the fourth chapter of John also. They'd gone out to buy meat. He said, "I have meat." He said, "Well, you have to eat." He said, "I have meat to eat that you don't know about." Well, what was he talking about? Did he carry a sandwich inside of his tunic? No, I don't think so. He was talking about a different kind of sustenance, a different kind of strengthening power.
Yeah.
Now, bread, water, and meat are symbols. Oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes in the scripture. This isn't any Romish host made up by some papal idiot. I heard a priest say one time that, he said, if the host isn't I better go back. The host is the wafer, the little wafer that melts on your tongue. When the priest comes by and says, "The body of Christ, the 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 body," on and on, everybody comes forward. And this host is in a little salver made out of silver or gold, depending on how rich the church is. And one priest said, "If that host isn't the person of Christ, why did the Germans shoot at it when I was running across the road with it?" They weren't shooting at the host. They missed him. They didn't care about the host. But you see, they come up with these fallacies. More about that later, too. Here, Christ is talking about his people being fed by his broken body and under the covenant of blood, his blood. They said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And they had no idea what they asked for.
Exactly.
Now, when Christ spoke, he wasn't speaking of just their being hungry. And probably by that time, I'm assuming now it was the next morning when they got to Capernaum. They were hungry again. And they said, "If we follow this guy, we're going to get something to eat." Well, we had that at Mabscott. We had people come in that were looking for something to eat. And we helped one. You guys remember this. We helped one. The next Sunday, he wanted to join the church, he and his wife. And I said, no, you better wait a while and see. And, of course, he didn't, they didn't, and I didn't. But Christ was not speaking about physical hunger. He was speaking about something far more pervasive than physical hunger. Something far more widespread among the children of men. He was speaking of that hunger to know God and to be acquainted or to be aware of the will of God and of His purpose. Now, Paul found this same desire on Mars Hill at Athens. And he found it among pagan philosophers, didn't he? That's Acts 16, verses 15 through 33. They'd built an altar there. Now, they had lots of altars, but they built another one. And they entitled that altar to the unknown God.
That's right.
And Paul saw this thing, and he said, wherefore, whom ye ignorantly worship, or worship in ignorance, either way you want to put it, him I declare unto you. And Paul spoke until he got to the place where he spoke of the resurrection of the dead.
Yep.
Some mocked. Much learning hath made thee mad. Some mocked, others said, we'll hear you again about this matter. Some come back another time. And there were just a few, Areopagus and a few people, believed and followed after Paul. But the majority turn away from this gospel.
Exactly.
And I'm saying that all of the children of Adam are religious. All of them. Every man that walks the roads and streets of Raleigh County is religious in one way or another. And all you have to do is talk to him to find it out. Jay Wimberly told a story one time down at Mabscott, and he said, I can get on a plane and fly somewhere. And I sat down in a crowded plane, you're sitting right up next to people, so you're sitting like this. So you talk to your neighbor, and he says, well, now, what do you do? And Jay says, I say, well, I'm a preacher. Now, let me tell you how I feel about this. He said, if you get up there and sit down by him, and if the man says, I'm a doctor, you don't get that.
Yeah.
Or if he says, I'm a lawyer, he doesn't tell you how he feels about the law. But if you say, I'm a preacher, let me tell you what I think. And he's got his little self-made religion all done up and encapsulated and wants to poke it down your throat and I won't swallow it.
Exactly. That's it.
Now, they're religious. Now, Paul proved this by his statement in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. He says of the pagans around him, he said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them so that they are without excuse. The natural man is a creature of worship and worships the creature. Get the difference. He's a creature of worship and worships the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever. That's what Paul said in Romans 1.
Yes, sir.
These people thought that they were worshiping God. Are there any around like that today? What about the little plastic statues on dashboards?
You're right.
What was it JC used to say all the time? Whether it snows or whether it freezes, I'm always safe with my plastic Jesus. You say, well, that's almost sacrilege. No, it isn't. That's just a dumb icon. It should be stomped on in the first place.
Exactly.
All right, let's go a little bit further. What about medals that you put around your neck? They make you bulletproof.
Sure.
I don't think so.
garage.
What about crosses?
Exactly.
In the lapel and on chains?
Yep. Foolishness.
So, you see, they thought that they were worshiping God.
That's it.
And they may have been sincere in their effort.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
But they want to worship in their own way.
That's it. Exactly.
And it was then, as it was then, so it is now. They were thinking that some kind of of something physical, some kind of a talisman, some kind of a rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
That would see that you get everything that you want. And it isn't so. But something that they could use to gain satisfaction. That's what they were after. They wanted to be satisfied. Our Lord said, it was testified to the fact, that ye also have seen me. In other words, you have seen me. I'm the one. Capital O. You have seen me and believe not. They saw him actually. They experienced being fed at his hand from what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then he inserts a small statement concerning the sovereignty of God in salvation in verse 37. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Here it's hiding. And this is the Father's will. Sit right there with it.
Yes.
This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing.
Amen.
Oh, when the dark gray days come and the shadows begin to fall, that should be a comfort to God's people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But the thing that grieves my soul is that there are so many people, and some of them I care about. You say, well, preacher, you ought to care about all of them. Well, you care about those that are closest to you, and you can't help it.
That's right. That's the truth.
Yeah.
There are countless thousands that turn away. And some of them, I believe, may enter heaven, but it'll be by the skin of their teeth. You know that statement, do you? Their works being burned, and they shall suffer loss. Job talks about the skin of the teeth, and there's not much skin on your tooth. I should lose nothing, but listen, but should raise it up again at the last day.
Amen.
Now, they shall come to me, he said. They shall come to me. Everyone, it's inevitable. There's no failure in this. I can't save a man. I can't cause anyone to be a child of God. But the Holy Spirit can. He can. And he will.
Yes, sir.
Now there are some people, even after making a profession of faith, and to some, now don't be angry. It's my job to admonish as well as to try to preach. Some, even having made a profession, become so familiar with what Walter and I do here that they become bored with it. And they look out into this wretched, condemned world that we live in, and they become enamored. They become excited. They're tempted toward this cosmos, this society.
Right.
or they may become self-satisfied and self-righteous. But let me tell you something. The reason God's people, if it can be done, I'm saying, ought to be in God's house on the Lord's day is because the manna had to be gathered fresh every morning. And if you're going to get bread from heaven, it can't be stale bread. And I labor the week long trying to provide something that isn't stale. And if you've been at a place for 35 years, it's difficult, let me tell you. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling the truth. Now, all of this was in connection with I am the bread of life. All of it. The sons and daughters of Adam will feed upon anything else other than the bread of life. They go out and suck up corruption. Practice evil with both hands.
You're right.
You say, well, that's awful rough. No, I'm saying they feed on this world. This world's religion feeds upon corruption.
Sure, that's it.
They assume that God is too good to condemn anybody. What do people think when God Almighty brought the sword of judgment against His Son and shed His blood for the salvation of His people? Too good to condemn? Too righteous to condemn? But there are countless thousands that feed on superstitions. They just feed on superstitions. Angels, look at these dumb angels made out of concrete and sitting in people's yards. Look at the ignorant bumper stickers that you face every day that you drive out. Look, you go into the, quote, Christian, unquote, bookstore and look at the literature that they have. They feed on superstition. And don't get me wrong, I was raised on Irish superstition. In fact, I even passed a little bit of it along to my grandchildren. Katie's sick this morning. She can't be here. She'd agree with me. I used to have her running around looking under leaves for leprechauns. But this was all done in fun, of course. What I was raised with wasn't in fun. Superstition, ceremonies. Oh, the natural man loves a ceremony. I'm not being hard on these people. If those people would come into this place today, I would endeavor to treat them kindly, as I would anybody else. But as we come by the little trailer out here on the road to church, every Sunday morning, it's ceremony. Jay, you've been there. It's ceremony and liturgy. The priest reads one thing, the people read another. Somebody says a prayer, the people answer the prayer. And it's they feed on ceremony. It's something that we do. You see what I'm talking about? They feed on ceremony. Creeds. Oh, here's what our church believes. Well, what does God say? That's the point. Now, I can go back into Ephesians and into 1st and 2nd Timothy and into Thessalonians and even into Romans and all, and I can preach condemnatory messages because of habit. I can go to Corinthians and do a great job. And I get concerned. You know what Paul said to the Galatians? Ye did run well. In other words, they had been in the path. Who did hinder you? Who threw a block into you and caused you to fall? Their failure was seeking to be justified by the law. See what I'm saying? Creeds. and vain philosophies. Vain philosophies of men. And programs of this world like Starbucks coffee systems. Basketball. Oh, I'm narrowing myself down now to a real fine point. Basketball teams that have inter-church competition. Softball teams. It's playtime, folks. Let's go to church. And they have that great mass of program called Sunday School, which is, as one brother from the old school Baptist told me one time, he said, "Brother Cochran, you know what a Sunday school is?" And I said, "No, you do." He was an elder in the church, old, very old at the time. I said, "Evidently you do." He said, "Yes, sir. It's a great big lot of people being taught by a few people. That don't know anything about, that don't care anything about the Bible, that are being taught by a few people that don't know anything about it."
Exactly.
And that's the truth. That's the truth. I spent my time cutting my teeth on running around trying to find Sunday school teachers, and that soon got old. Now, parents believe that they're nourishing their children by involving them in the cesspools of this modern society. Now let me counsel. There are a great many disappointments in raising a family. And some of those things are heartbreaking. Some of us here know about that, maybe the most of us. And it seems in most cases they can't be escaped. There's nothing you could do. At least you feel that way.
Exactly.
But let me say this. If our children are simply let loose and encouraged into this wretched system, the end can be far worse than we ever imagined. Because I've no doubt that everybody does the best they can. But the end of it, if you don't do that much, can be awful. Let me tell you, there's no bread there.
That's right.
There's no bread out here.
No, sir.
It's like the place from which David fetched up Mephibosheth. You remember that? He brought him from where? Lodibar. You know what Lodibar means in the Hebrew? It means without pasture. No food. No sustenance. No bread. There's no bread there. I'll soon be done. I, Christ said, am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and he feeds us with life. In closing, let me talk a little bit about what this bread is. What is this bread? I am the bread of life. If any man eat of this bread, he shall never hunger. This bread is faith in Christ to do what he said he would do. This bread is to follow him to the best of our ability, which is sometimes not too good.
You're right.
But that's the goal. This bread is to trust him. Like old Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Henry said this morning, old Job had been bankrupt, lost his family, lost his health, lost everything, and was sitting on a garbage heap scraping himself with a piece of broken crockery.
Yep.
His wife said, curse God and die.
See?
He said, you speak like a foolish woman.
Right. That's right.
Shall a man accept good from the hand of God and not evil?
Right. See?
That's bread from heaven.
Right. Right.
That gives you the ability to stand. You're nourished, you're strengthened, you're fed. Romans 8:28 is bread from heaven. And all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's bread. To know that we shall be like him when we shall see him as he is. That's bread. To know that we shall be one day in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now I read one man, didn't hear him, he wrote, there will not be one Gentile on the face of the new earth, they'll be all Jews. That man has no idea what he's talking about. The new earth. And now this is not fantasy, this is God's promise, it's bread from heaven. The new earth will be peopled by those who have received the gift of faith. And let me tell you, I don't know very much about heaven. I say that all the time. Don't know much about it at all. Don't know much about hell either. But I know, do know this, that I'm promised in the Word of God to tread a recreated earth. That's promised. And I have a sense of it. I was talking like this one time at Mabscott, and I said, God intended for a man to be a farmer. And that's what we're going to do in the new earth. And John Gravely was sitting there, and he said, well, I hope God has some use for a bookkeeper, because I'll never make a farmer. But we smile at that. But God's going to have a work.
That's exactly
for his people. This thing of floating around in heaven on a cloud, plucking a three-string harp, is a bunch of nonsense.
You're right. You're right.
I'll walk a new heaven. I'll visit a new heaven and walk in a new earth. And I'll do it in a glorified body.
Right.
A body of flesh and bone.
Right.
Because I'm going to come out of that grave.
Right.
I don't care if it's ashes spread anywhere, I'll come back.
Right.
How do I know that? Because I'm promised that. That's bread from heaven. You lay down to die. You lay down to sleep in blessed hope. That's bread from heaven. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give us this bread. Well, preacher, where does it begin? It begins with the gift of faith. It begins with the gift of faith. And the gift of faith enables us to witness that this is true. Some people say, well, you think that because you think you're perfect. Uh-uh. I think that because I know I'm not. And I know that I don't stand a ghost of a show to ever, ever tread that new earth with my hoe in my hand, hopefully. See, it's going to be the world that Adam had. And what was Adam's job? Think about this. It was to tend the garden. And I can't think of anything better, like Philip said one time, where there's no weeds and briars. None of them. God, in his mercy, has made such promises to his people that are in reality simple. But the faith that appropriates these promises comes as a gift of God into the souls of his people. Our Father, we're grateful this morning.